Welcome back to Following Know It on a Stormlight Podcast. This week is episode 188, and we are in parts 3 and 4 of Mistborn Secret History. Paul, how are you?
Magnificent.
Elliot?
I am doing well.
Sounds good. We are into parts 3 and 4 of Mistborn Secret History. We get a cameo. Maybe even more than a cameo, an appearance from a character that we've been hunting for quite a while. Ever since we read, or ever since our Cosmere 101 class, 2 years ago now at this point, we read Arcanum Unbounded, and I told you guys, or does it say in the book, that the preface of each system is written by Chris, and Chris shows up in our story here, so I'm excited to talk about that. Let's roll intro, and then we'll get a brief summary from Elliot. All right, Elliot. What happens in parts 3 and 4 of Secret History?
Not a whole lot, if I'm being honest, but
he walks a while.
He walks a while, he jogs a while, he's lonely a lot. He talks to crazy people multiple times.
That's cool.
Just to feel something, you know.
we learn a lot. We learn a lot. There's a lot of information, not a lot of happening. But let's see. I'll run through it. So Kelsier, kind of trying to decide what to do. He sees the crew. He visits the crew after the events of the Well of Ascension. So Doxin and Clubs have died at that point. And so he, you know, has that sorrowful moment where he's watching the crew go through some hard times. He determines in that moment that he's going to fight against Ruin, that he's going to do what he can to help them stop Ruin. He's very confident that Vin can beat Ruin. He wanders over to Lake Luthadel and finds Chris and Naz camping, chilling, watching events, taking notes, like they're journalists or something. You know, ooh, what's going to happen next?
Yes.
Gets a Cosmere 101 class from Chris, full on. I even learned a few things, I think, in what we learned there. Then he is told he needs to seek the Eyrie?
The Eyrie.
Eyrie. And he said, well, where are they?
Quick trivia question for you. Have you seen the Eyrie before?
Ooh, it kind of rung a bell, but I was wondering if I was confusing it with the Eyrie, which are the people from Western Roshar. Or maybe they're the same. Like the Eriali?
Oh, yes. The Eerie. Okay, understood. Different people.
I figured.
Or are they?
Yeah, or are they? Anyway, they tell Hoyd that, oh yeah, the Eyrie are that way. Really, really far that way. So he starts jogging for months? He realizes he can't get tired, or at least if he doesn't think about
until
it,
he thinks get about tired. It. Yep.
Yeah. So he just jogs for months and months and months and months, at least a few months. Gets to the ocean, which is the solid land, which is where he's been told the Eyrie are. Goes to head out into that. Ruin tries to stop him, has a little mini showdown, but think he busts through, and now he's off into finding the Eyrie. And along the way there, he has kind of a reminiscence about Mare and some time he spent with her. I think that was pretty much it.
Sounds good. Our first chapter in this episode, we get sat down and we get a Chris Cosmere 101 class. What did you guys learn?
I learned that Chris is looking for the original planet.
What does that mean?
The OG Cosmere planet. She also, I don't know what that means or why that's important, but she name drops Adal Nalsium and a few other things. So I'm wondering if that's where like the original splintering, shattering happened.
The shattering. Yep.
She gives us mention of specifically how many shards there are, right? Doesn't she specifically say that there are 16 shards?
Yes. So, okay. If you'll notice, this chapter is where I got a lot of the information in the Cosmere 101 class that I presented to you guys 2 years ago. Because in the order of publication, you're supposed to read this and then proceed into Stormlight, into Oathbringer, and Rhythm of War. So after Oathbringer, I kind of gave you a brief synopsis of what Chris gives Kelsier here, of there's 16 shards, here's the ones we know. That's what Chris says. There's, you know, devotion and cultivation, and she name drops a couple. So, yeah, I mean, for the casual publication order reader, this is quite the reveal for most people.
She also explained it in a way that I think made me process a few things a little bit differently than I have been. She talked about 16 shards, and she talked about it as 16 people who killed Adal Nalsium and took the divided up 16 bits of Adal Nalsium's power. That take on it seems much more aggressive than I was thinking about it. I was thinking, for some reason in my head, I think I just was trying to fill in gaps, was thinking of some kind of event happens, Adal Nalsium shatters into 16, and then sometime later, people encounter those shards or beings and say, oh, I could be devotion, I could be ruin. This makes it seem more like a plot.
A heist.
Yeah, like 16 people got together and say, oh, we could take down God, divide up God's power into 16 parts, and we could be gods. That's not how I was thinking about that until this moment.
She labels it. What? She labels it 16 people with diverse.
Yeah.
What's the word? Motives. That 16 very different people with 16 different motives. So some of them presumably didn't like Adal Nalsium. Some of them were just opportunists and wanted to grab a shard.
You make a great point, Elliot. This does really change how I viewed that, I guess, event in history. I've thought of it as like, I don't know if a force did it or what, but Adal Nalsium was shattered, and the bits and bobs of him were just laying around or were inherited by different people or things like that. So we learn in Rhythm of War that Hoid was offered to be a shard or like given the opportunity to be a shard. Was that such that he like was invited to break apart Adal Nalsium?
To the carving?
I don't know if
the turkey carving?
Yeah, to the yeah, exactly, to carve the rump.
That would be ruin and odium on the rump.
Odium, yeah, for sure.
yeah, exactly. Anyways, so I don't actually know. Maybe I need to reread that part of Rhythm of War. But was he invited to the assault or the heist on Adal Nalsium, or was he just at the time of the shattering? Was he like offered a piece of the pie, you know, or what? I'm curious about that, and it makes me wonder. It makes me think that, you know, I want to know what went down. Actually, it seems like way more of like a big event that I want to know what happened.
Yeah,
rather than it's just a predates Mankind kind of thing, almost predates Mankind type of event. So, not that I thought it did predate Mankind, but that, you know, that's how I've thought of that, is like a event that's, you know, people didn't have anything to do with.
Yeah. One of the big revelation for me actually in this chapter was preservation and ruin. Chris confirms created the humans on Scadrial, and they had the power to create life. And for whatever reason, it finally clicked into my brain that a shard can create a human and not just like foster humanity. Like, they didn't find Scadrial with humans on it and that's where they decided to reside. No, they created Scadrial and the life on it, including humans. And so that made me think, well, okay, wait a minute. That is godlike powers. That's not just someone who ascended to like a lot of power. That is, by definition, a godlike person. So that really did make me rethink, I don't know, the powers of a shard. I didn't attribute creation of a human to a shard for whatever reason until this chapter. I don't know why, but I don't know. I just kind of assumed that at the time of the shattering, the Cosmere kind of existed without magic, and then as the shards broke up onto their planets, they kind of just resided over the humans that were already there. No, Chris would say, no, they created the environment around them. They created the planet. So,
Chris has a funny comment about humans being created by shards as well, which I want to go ahead and read it. She reveals that ruin and preservation created humans. And Kelsier goes, oh, hell, no wonder we're all so bloody messed up. Actually, Chris noted, people are just generally like that, no matter who made them. If it's any consolation, Adonalsium originally created the first humans. Therefore, your gods had a pattern to use. So we're copies of a flawed original. Not terribly comforting, Kelsier said. Just a good snippet of the fast and loose dialogue you were talking about before. They're just kind of bantering on it. But I found that was just funny. Like, nah, humans are just generally screwed up.
It is that moment of learning that, I guess, Adonalsium also created humans, you know. So I'm making, I guess, assumptions. I don't know. I feel like it makes sense that Hoid is one of those humans that was created by Adonalsium. I don't know that. Do we know what planet he's originally from?
No. Yes. Yolin is the planet that he's from. However, I'm not sure if Yolin predates Adonalsium or not. So, Adonalsium may coexist with Yolin, or Adonalsium may have created Yolin. Not clear. Maybe it is clear, and I just don't know.
Anyways, I could be very wrong on that, but that's been my thought, is like, you know, Hoid has been around for seemingly forever, and his little dragon friends too. I'm like, were they created by Adonalsium? Where I'm saying a lot of things which may be dumb questions and may be questions we don't have answers to, but I'm like, for the first time, it's like setting into me that Adonalsium was, I guess, I don't know, more of an active creative player in the game here, that was, there were people involved with and a much larger plot at hand, instead of just like a, you know what I mean? Like it's way more stuff went down with Adonalsium than I think I've realized. And what I now want answers, but I don't think that's going to happen in anywhere in the near future, so.
What if that's actually an important distinction, that Hoid comes from a bloodline that was created by Adonalsium and not a shard of Adonalsium?
Oh, interesting.
And I'm thinking of specifically our delving into the concept of connection. That's come up a lot of times across the Cosmere. What if, say, the humans from Scadrial who were created by Ruin and Preservation have a capital C connection to Ruin and Preservation and whatever implications that might have? But maybe Hoid either has connections to none of them or all of them.
Yeah.
If they're all shards of Adol Nalsium, and what could that mean for implications going forward?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. If world hoppers are, like, by definition, or original world hoppers, I should say, from Yolin or from Silverlight, potentially, are by definition more powerful, more
right,
connected, more diverse than somebody created on Nalthus or Scadrial or Roshar.
Right.
One thing I want to add to this, which is funny that I'm adding to this, because I believe this was a chapter that was specifically, like, not included in, like, the canonical work. So Emperor's Soul, the chapter that Hoid is, like, the jester or whatever, right? And what is it? What's her name? Shy sees Hoid and talks with him and such. I remember this is a lot of speculation, I guess, but she sees Hoid and she has a moment of, like, realization. It seems like most people, as in these other planets, as they meet Hoid, they have kind of a moment of realization that, like, this guy is a bit different. Like, it's specifically, she looks into his eyes and it just seems more vast and more knowledgeable and more, like, aged and wise, I guess, than, like, she just knows that something is up. You know, knows something is a bit different with Hoid. There's just, like, a different, I don't know, quality, air of understanding in his eyes. And I've just always kind of thought about that and held on to that. I mean, I'm kind of firmly, I guess I can't say I firmly believe it, but I'm, like, very much in the camp that if there's a possibility that Adol Nalsium had a part directly in the creation of Hoid and or, like, you know, whatever, his people, you know, it just makes so much logical sense to me in my brain that that's what I need to believe right now. That's what I'm really saying. And I think it kind of would add up logically. You know, the other option in my head is Hoid is just extremely invested and has been around for like, just longer than the rest of our, like, world hopper characters, you know.
That's an interesting question, though, because is he actually more invested than our normal characters? Because if you focus specifically on Hoid and where we've seen him go, he's kind of collecting the Infinity Stones of investiture bending, if you will. He grabs a Spren in Oathbringer. Last episode, we didn't talk about it, but last episode, he grabs an original Mistborn Allomancy bead from the well and swallows it. Apparently, Rashik left two, and Hoid grabs one, and then Ellen grabs one. And so, presumably, he's doing that on other planets as well. Is Hoid naturally more powerful than everybody else, or is he just more aware and is going around grabbing stuff?
Well, and let me take your idea one step further. Have we seen somebody who's from a specific planet go to another planet and do that planet's magic? Our easiest example, right, is Zyle. We've spent time with him. He's from Nalthus. He's spending time on Roshar, but he doesn't surge bind. It's also a cognitive shadow, so there's other questions there, but
But he uses breaths, yeah.
I'm now wondering, back to this whole, maybe Hoid is from a creation line that stemmed from Adol Nalsium himself. Does that allow him to do all these different magics because he has connections
to
all these shards. And so, let's say you're created on Roshar, you only have connections to the shards there and can't go do the other magics.
So I would argue give me 1 second, Paul. I would argue for Scadrial, yes. Scadrial seems to be very bloodline dependent, right? We're breeding Allomancers. We're breeding Ferrochemists. However, could an Allomancer go to Roshar and bond a Spren?
Right.
I don't know. Or would a Allomancer go to Nalthus and naturally have a breath? I don't know.
Mraes would know.
I was going to say, Mraes has... I mean, I don't know if this is helpful, but he like has an AVR.
Sure.
In Roshar, not on its home planet. You know, and we know that AVRs are about, you know... It seems gray. I feel like you... Yeah, but we don't see Mraes use anything else. Do we know where... Do we have a confirmation?
The Sion. Mraes
is from...
Mraes is Sion. Actually, plays into this quite a bit. Mraes successfully takes the Sion off cell and gives it to Shallan to talk to her on Roshar in Rhythm of War, right?
Yes.
But I don't know if that's quite the same as being an Elantrian.
That's my question. That's my question with the AVR is that the same? Is it more of an investiture trinket that always works?
Right.
Rather than having an AVR, does that make you invested? You know, or having a CM, does that make you invested? We know the Nile bond is like tied to investiture and things. Like I can see a direct connection there. But like the Sion's an AVR, that feels different. Because it can like you can hand an AVR to someone else, and they can use it, right? Like it's not an invested or connection.
The AVR is also from a planet with no shard.
That's true.
Sort of. Hachi
no current shard.
Hachi is an avatar of autonomy. Hachi the island. Hachi the Spren of the island, if you will, is an avatar of autonomy, which is the shard on Taldane. So, yes and no. We don't really have a good definition for avatar at the moment. The sentence I just said is really crazy.
Yeah, but like that was a wild one.
Odd. Very odd.
Yeah, duh. The Spren of the island is the avatar of the autonomy of Taldane. Yeah. Duh.
That is what I said.
This guy doesn't know anything. Yeah.
This is one of those classic puzzles that we had a lot of throughout the Stormlight Archive where we have some of the pieces, but clearly not all of them.
We have the answers. We need the questions.
Right. Yeah. We have the pieces, but we're not quite sure exactly what question to ask.
You're right. What? We're playing Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I make one other little aside on Hoid right quick?
Yeah.
I want to bring up how Hoid kind of was a... Like in combat, was a step ahead Kelsier, and
okay.
I'm glad. I just have to say, I'm glad that that was the case. We've never seen Hoid fight anyone before.
We didn't talk about that. He's not allowed to, and he talks about that in last episode. The power that he has prevents him from harming anyone, but because Kelsier is dead. He's allowed to punch him in the face. And he talks about that. He said, because you're dead, apparently I can hurt you.
Which is really funny. But I have to say, that fight sequence made me glad. because I don't know. I wanted to know that Hoid is a step ahead, I guess, of kind of other characters. Kelsier is kind of the character that, like, doesn't... I feel like he's not anyone about practice or, like, planning or things like that. He just does something. He just punches a shard in the face. And the shard is like, what the heck? Why? How could you do that kind of thing? And albeit, you know, preservation is not in his top form. But I think it would have really annoyed me if he, like, pushed Hoid around, I guess. I don't know why, but I just, like, I don't know. For my sake, I need to know that Hoid is, you know, got a lot of tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah,
I guess. And it was, I don't know why, but I really thought it, one, I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny and a neat scene, but it was neat to get, like, a glimpse of Hoid in combat and, like, you know, showing him up. Because we know Kelsier to be excellent fighter, you know, absolutely, like, just excellent fighter. And Hoid was a step ahead, which I think is a neat little thing to show. It doesn't necessarily have relevance for other things right now. Also, wait, hold on, I glossed over it. You said Hoid's not allowed to hurt anyone, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Whose rules is that? Who what rule
That's
is
what
that?
I'm stuck on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, who came up with that rule?
So, I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll put that out there. But I think it has to, it's tied with his fortune, capital F fortune, that there's some rule that physically prevents him from harming anyone. But I'll get back to you next week on exactly why that is. Because there is a reason why. I think we might have already covered it in Stormlight. But I'll go find out where we learned that and why and get back to you next week. Because I don't remember. Anything as Kelsier's walk-in that we want to cover? He talks to some crazy people. Are the crazy people spiked? And is that why you can talk to them, or are they just crazy?
That would play into your question about, is Kelsier tied to preservation's power or ruin, right?
Yeah, maybe.
That thought didn't even occur to me, that they would need to be, or maybe are, spiked. But why crazy people? I don't know. Maybe crazy people aren't really crazy. They're just a little bit in the cognitive realm.
They live in their head.
Drives them crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
Anything else while he's running around?
One observation about the world he's running around in. We figure out fairly quickly that this is cognitive realm. But I was a little bit thrown off by, it's not quite the cognitive realm that I'm used to from Roshar.
Not quite.
In Roshar, you drop into the cognitive realm, or Shadesmar, which I was uncertain whether that's a Roshar-specific term or not.
It is.
Okay, I thought it might be. You splash into a massive world of beads. Soul beads. Lots and lots of them.
Yep.
It's not described that way here on Scadrial.
Well, in Scadrial, it's got the Scadrial twist to it. It's misty.
It's right? Misty, yeah. It's like a soup.
Yeah.
Instead of the beads. And I had a small theory on this. I think it's Ruin himself mentions at one point that Scadrial is old.
Okay.
It's an old planet. It's been around for a long time. He uses that as justification, as it's time for Scadrial to end. I need to bring about its beautiful ending because it's like an old man. What if Roshar is young? What if Roshar is much, much younger? And so the souls of all the objects have a more clear identity of what they are. And so that forms into that little more, much more solid, distinct from everything else around it, bead. And they form into these, you know, bubbles. Whereas maybe thousands, tens of thousands, however many years in the future, if that identity starts to bleed into everything else around it, and you get on Scadrial, where there are souls of things, because Kelsey is going around touching them. He can touch things and get like a glimpse into the physical realm. He does this a couple times. But they're all kind of mushed up together because they've been there for so long and they don't know anymore exactly what they are, distinct from the other souls of things around them. I don't know if that theory is relevant or meaningful at all, but that was the thoughts going through my head of as to why there might not be a big bowl of beads.
Not a bad idea. I like it. I don't have an answer for you. Apologize. I am glad to be back to that phrase. I haven't said that phrase in a while, but I am glad to be returning to that phrase, because Paul is allowed to now candidly speak about whatever he wants, and I'm back to vaguely knowing some answers, but not a lot of other stuff. So I'm enjoying this aspect of the podcast once again.
You're speaking welcome.
Speaking of vaguely knowing things, I can tie that to my next question. Kelsier at one point has a conversation with Preservation. This happens in chapter 3 of part 3.
Okay.
And he like touches Preservation, and my word for all this is trippy, because so much of this is what happens is trippy. We go into a very trippy scene where he starts to see visions of the future. And it's just a mess and kind of swirling together, and Kelsier's very confused, but seems to clearly get a vision of the future through Preservation somehow. Did you guys get any Taravangian and his diagram vibes from that?
Yes, but here's why you get that. So seeing the future is not like a diagram void bringer like specific thing. It's a shard thing.
Yeah.
And the only reason why Roshar equates it to Odium and void bringers and like diagram and all that cryptic stuff you're not allowed to do is because Odium is the surviving shard. Honor's not there. So because Honor's dead, they don't get to see the future if you're of Honor. But if you're of Odium, then you do get to see the future. So it's not that it's a diagram thing, it's a shard thing of seeing the future. Any shard can. Well, but because you're tying it to the diagram, Taravangian is just a Roshar thing, right?
I guess I was going a slightly different direction of, could we now conclude that the diagram is a shard thing?
Oh, okay.
If you're telling me that I have to touch a shard in order to see the future, is that what was somehow happening to Taravangian when he diagrammed?
Yes. Didn't we get that confirmed already? He gets that from Cultivation. He gets the diagram from Cultivation on his trip to the Night Watcher. Right?
He gets that ability directly from her. We could put the two together and say that vision of the future is his contact with Cultivation that then gives him... Okay. You're right. It's coming back to me.
Yeah.
Because that's not all the pieces are coming back to me, but that's the play, right? Like Cultivation makes a very intentional play with that.
Right.
She gives him that, intending him to do something.
And we don't know this for sure, but it could be that Cultivation's plan was for Taravangian to grab Odium. And if that is the plan, then why? What is Cultivation doing? Why did Cultivation set Taravangian up to grab Odium? Yeah. That's a whole string theory that you can pull. The ability to see the future is just shard based, not necessarily Odium or diagram based.
Got it.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Kelsey has a couple sad scenes where he's just lonely and is thinking about his time with Mare and missing her.
Rune even haunts him with it. Rune says, yeah. Why haven't you gone to the beyond to be with Mare? Your wife wants to be with you. And Kelsey uses that as, okay, Rune doesn't want me to go see the Eyrie for whatever reason. So let's go see the Eyrie. So that brings me to my final question. Where's this going, gentlemen? We know how the Hero of Ages ends, and presumably,
or do we?
Yeah, exactly. And presumably, Kelsier doesn't have much to do with it. So does Kelsier come back and influence the Hero of Ages anymore? Does he find the Eyrie? What predictions on next week, gentlemen?
Okay. I'm going to talk through a couple things right quick as I think about this. I don't have any predictions right now, but I might find them along the way. So I'm thinking of what other events we have left to see of Mistborn that hasn't occurred throughout our reading of Secret History. So isn't it in Hero of Ages that we see the the vessel's body of preservation fall and is found in the mist?
Towards the end of the Hero of Ages, yep.
Okay. I'm assuming that's going to be a notable moment on here. We're going to see something with that.
Okay.
The Eyrie is probably my big mystery. I really don't know. I really don't know about the Eyrie, what that's going to be. But I'm that'll be a big moment. Preservation's vessel being gone. Preservation no longer having a vessel. Obviously, Ven, all the whole situations with Ven getting Preservation's power, says it with some. I feel like gotta be. That was the big crux, is says it getting the power of Ruin and Preservation. That was the big crux of the whole story. So I'm it has to be touched on in this somehow. I don't know if Kelsier's gonna have any kind of influence on that. Or if we're just going to see it, or maybe get some other tidbit about it, I don't know. I really don't know, and I don't have great predictions. I know we're going to see some of these other events, is my understanding.
Does the story go past the Hero of Ages? Do we see Spook die and Kelsier and Spook reunite? Do we see Ham pass on? Do we see Kelsier trying to foster the new Scadrial at all?
I think yes, actually. Okay. I think yes. So what, we have parts 5 and 6? The thing is, I don't think it can... I haven't looked at exactly how much time is left in this. But in my head, judging off of the length, the sheer length of part 3 and 4 and 1 and 2, I feel like it's not going to be that long. So I'm wondering what all might be fit in here. Maybe part 5 would wrap up our, what we know as the Hero of Ages, storyline. And then we may see past that in part 6 or part of part 6. We might get I feel like we might meet with some of those other characters, but I don't know if that'd be too brief. But I'm we have to, unless it's an Era 2 Mistborn thing, don't we have to see some kind of transition with how we know Thydakar, how we meet Thydakar at the end of Rhythm of War versus what we know of Kelsier? That's been my number one question. Once we found that out, is what happens in the meantime? You know, so, I'm assuming that this is the meantime, but I could be wrong.
So Stormlight 5 unpublished prologue spoilers incoming. Elliot, how does Kelsier show up?
I was going to mention this if you didn't prompt me. He's got spikes through his eyes.
He has one spike through one eye. And if you, and when we read it, I remember you saying, I have no idea what that means, but I assume it's important. With the info you have now, he's hemorrhaged something somehow. Yeah. What it's going?
Yeah.
What's going on? Are we going to see it here, or is this a, or is it a Stormlight 5 reveal? What, like, was the spike a reveal for everybody who read Stormlight 5, or is it going to be touched on in here?
Elliot, if you have something, you can go first, but I do have thoughts.
I have just wonderings. We wondered throughout Hero of Ages and Well of Ascension where all the Inquisitors went, what they were doing the whole time. And I think we got told at one point that they were like rounding up the terrace or something like that, or doing they something
were,
up there.
They were spiking the terrace, or they were creating spikes from the terrace.
Yeah. I wonder if there's more to that story. If Kelsier is going to learn something from the Eyrie and then go maybe try to help stall the Inquisitors to keep them off of Vin so Vin can do her thing. So Kelsier interacting with Inquisitors, Kelsier shows up millennia later with a spike through his eye. Yeah, related, maybe.
Okay, my further thoughts. Well, one is a realization more than like any kind of prediction. But we see Kelsier with a spike in one eye. And my, you know, your perception at the start is that's really bad because we see our Inquisitor friends, you know, but we see this bad because we know that hemallergy is tied to Ruin, but Ruin's power is now in the hands of Sazed, who also has the power of preservation, so that's probably going to look different. It's probably not going to be... If I had a, I guess this is a general, you know, Era 2 Mistborn prediction as well. There may be people with spikes or with gnarly spikes in their eyes in Era 2, and it may not be looked at as such a evil thing, you know, of like these spikes coming out of you as like your corrupted, ruined, destructive kind of thing. It may be different.
Do you still have to kill people to accomplish it?
Good question.
That is the rocky ground, as I assume, yes. I assume that is like a mechanical aspect of hemallergy.
Okay.
That's not chosen by the vessel. Maybe so. If so, then that is a pretty foundational difference that we would get to expand upon is like the vessel, or maybe it's different with Ruin and Preservation's powers being together, potentially. That could make sense. But yeah, that could shift a lot if there is like a shift in how the actual like magic system works like that. That'd be crazy. But so maybe, I mean, it's very possible that could be a Stormlight 5 reveal or. I don't think it'd be a Stormlight 5 reveal. I feel like it'd either be somehow in Mistborn Era 2 or in this. I feel like maybe that may be what we see at the end of Secret History. You know, if he does meet with Sazed, Sazed's going to be like, remember me forever. Just stick this spike through your eye. You know, and it's going to be a really sentimental moment. You know, don't forget me.
Call me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just a walkie-talkie.
Yeah,
he'll be in your thoughts like forever now. So, or maybe that's, you know, like we see the you know, new version Thydakar. What, he's in Roshar. So maybe that's like how he kind of carries that investiture. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot there. I could speculate that on a long time, but. I think we'll at least get some maybe point towards it with this, but I don't know. That could sort of just be a later thing.
These questions have me very excited for you guys to read Era 2. Very excited. Elliot. I'll pause on the Elliot question for a second. I've been speed reading Mistborn Era 2 over the last like 2 weeks to make sure I don't spoil anything for you guys when we go through it over the spring here. So I just have it on my mind and I'm really excited for it. Elliot, Didn't get any general predictions for Secret History from you. Is this going past the Hero of Ages? Is he going to find the Eirene? What are the Eirene? What are they going to offer Kelsier?
He is going to find the Eirene. The Eirene are going to be part of our traffic through Scadrial. They're just going to be humans who live in the cognitive realm, which we've seen that before. He's going to learn something helpful from them. I'm not sure exactly what. Probably not how to get back to the physical realm, because we probably would have seen him in the physical realm during the events of Hero of Ages. Maybe not. So he'll learn something helpful. I don't know exactly what. I don't think this story is going too far past Hero of Ages, like maybe a little bit. We might see like Kelsier and Sazed having a cup of tea, you know, talking through the events of things.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to extend much further beyond that.
Sounds good.
I want to throw one other thing out there. This is an aside that I don't actually believe in, but whenever we first got mention of the Eirene here, my initial like spur of the moment guess was that these were actually sleepless. So, just throwing that out there. I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
But you know, that was my thought. Some kind of mysterious people over here, you know. Anyways.
The only way we can find out if they're sleepless is if we read and find out. So let's do a Stormlight refresher, and then we can conclude Secret History next week. It is 6-3. Elliot, you're going to lead this. And Elliot's in the lead for anyone just joining us. 6-3. With a comeback victory last week. Here's your chapter name. One problem solved.
One problem solved. This is gonna. Who has problems? Well, a lot of people have problems.
Me. But I did my taxes today, so that is one problem solved.
Okay. Deal.
There's our answer. It's Trevor's autobiography and the day he did his taxes.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Now, the actual chapter is Dalinar. He's trying to, you know, get everybody on his side politically. And he solves one of his problems. But what is it? I got nothing on this. This is a Dalinar chapter where he's working through things. Gets an answer from the Stormfather on like visions or something like that. I'm completely grasping at straws.
Incorrect.
You didn't say my name, but is it my turn to
guess? It is. It is Paul's turn. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul's turn. Okay. My guess, and this is a guess, I think this is actually when Kaladin takes care of, like, gets rid of the Pursuer in Rhythm of War, because, you know, there's a lot of problems going on, and it's kind of one of them, but also not the main one on hand. So that's my guess.
It'd be incorrect. Elliot is closer, but Paul, you are geographically closer because it is in your Ithiru. Elliot, the problem that Dalinar is having is Sadeas in a thorn in his side all throughout Words of Radiance, and they find him dead in the back halls of Yir Ithiru at the beginning of Oathbringer, and that is one problem solved.
I see.
Okay.
And Adolin shows up and says, "Who could have done this?" All right. Paul, for your quote ID, who's talking? What is our chain of command? Do we still obey King Elokar? Are we still his subjects? Who pays the wages of Bridge 4? If there's a squabble over Dalinar's lands, can he call Bridge 4 up to fight for him? Like a normal liege-vassal relationship?
I'm going to do my classic move and ask you to read it again.
Sure. So, what's our chain of command? Do we still obey King Elokar? Are we still his subjects? Who pays the wages of Bridge 4? If there is a squabble over Dalinar's lands, can he call Bridge 4 up to fight for him? Like a normal siege vassal, liege vassal relationship?
I think, so I just need to know who's saying it, who's speaking, right?
Who's speaking?
I think that Stigzel is speaking.
You would be correct. I'm proud of you.
Nice.
Elliot had it too. Yeah.
That's tough.
Nice job. Stigzel, I understand
that scenario, Elliot.
Stigzel is appealing to Kaladin at the beginning of Oathbringer, I believe, of what's going on. Are we still Alethi? What are we doing here? All right, back to Elliot. It is 1-0 in the favor of Paul. Here's your review. Way too long. Some fun parts at the end, but no reason to go through that phone book to get there. Could have been cut down by 500 pages easily. That's me done with Sanderson for the foreseeable future.
I feel like this is a pretty common take for those that don't enjoy the long drawn out, the epic story. I'm the opposite. I enjoy that kind of thing. It makes the Sanderlands so much better, having gone through the 500 pages to get there. Like,
could not agree more, which is why Andor is the second best TV series of all time, because it's slow at parts, it's a slog at parts, but the end is so good.
Andor is really good.
This review is not for Andor. It is for... like the obvious answer is Way of Kings, but we've made that mistake a couple times now, I think, where we just assume
last week
somebody
included,
stumbled at the first book, and then we learn, no, actually, they made it all the way to Oathbringer, and then they decided they were done with Sanderson. This is... Ay. This is Oathbringer. I think this person has just lost the plot. They read the first two. They got all the way to the third one. For some reason, the third one did not sit well with them. They enjoyed the Sanderlanch. It's Oathbringer. Who would not? But they maybe didn't resonate with Dalinar, and so they didn't like his backstory, and they're done with Sanderson. It is Oathbringer, and it is another rage review, so it's 2 out of 5.
Just as an aside, I'm curious to know how many people set down the Stormlight Archive in Shadesmar in Oathbringer.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting stat to get. Paul, go ahead.
Pulling out my secret weapon. Can you read it again? I'm sorry, Trevor. It unironically helps me so much to just... I gotta hear it a second time.
That's why he's rereading the Stormlight Archive, gentlemen.
Yes, exactly.
Way too long. Some fun parts at the end, but no reason to go through that phone book to get there. Could have been cut down by 500 pages easily. That's me done with Sanderson for the foreseeable future.
But yeah, the tough part is I could see this being any of the 4 Stormlight books.
There isn't much there for you.
I'm like, if he came in from Mistborn, you know, he started reading Sanderson a long time ago, picked up Way of Kings, was too long for him. Okay. I feel like you would get through the Way of Kings. My initial guess was Oathbringer. I could see it being...
Does Paul play defense because he's ahead here or not?
Classic. See, that is the advantage. I think we should reevaluate the order of our questions, because I think going second on this one is the definite advantage.
Sure.
And going first on the previous question is also the definite advantage.
Sure.
Anyways, I think this is... I do think this is Oathbreaker, but I think he was more mad about it. I think this is a 1 out of 5 stars.
All right. It is a 2 out of 5 for Words of Radiance.
Okay.
They did not get to Oathbringer, it would seem.
Okay.
So it is 1-1 going into the trivia question, and Paul is going to lead this. No pressure, though. What is the name of the beverage that Vale favors as she pretends to get drunk to gain information in Urethru Taverns?
Horneater White.
You are correct. You are correct with no hesitation.
That was my quickest answer to date.
Paul confidently answers with Horneater White, not intended for airsick lowlanders. Congratulations, Paul.
Ooh, well done. Feels good. Feels
well
good.
Done.
Elliot didn't look confident over there, so that was an impressive fast answer for you.
That's a good one.
All right. We will reconvene next week with the ending of Mistborn Secret History. And for anyone reading along with us, Mistborn Secret History, the end of it next week. We will be pausing for a week to do a Stormlight refresher episode. We will be reading the chapter that was read at 2023 Dragonsteel. And then we will be jumping right into Alloy of Law after that. So thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot. We will reconvene next week.
See ya.
Namarie.
Maybe next week Paul will get it with a straight face.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, do it. The reason...